Kristen Hirsch formed the Throwing Muses in 1983 when she was still in high school and released her first solo album in 1994 after the Muses' fifth album. She's continued releasing solo albums, playing with the Throwing Muses, homeschooling her kids, and rocking out with your other band, 50 Foot Wave. She has a new solo album called Learn to Sing Like the Stars, which is a true solo album in many ways. It's funny, this is a solo album, and as we'll find out today, it was real solo in a lot of ways, in that David Narciso did the drum parts, and you had some incredible string players, but everything else is you. And it was interesting. Before I read it, I listened to it, and I said, oh, this is a band record. Boy, this is a great band record. You've succeeded in doing something that's really hard to do, which is to make something you record all yourself, live and breathe.
Well, that's nice. Band. I do get a little obsessive in the studio.
Did you?
That makes you want to just rip instruments off the walls and say, what is it? Tune it. I'm going to play it. I find it hard to leave the studio at night when everybody else is yawning, have their foreheads pressed to the mixing board. I'm still wanting to put down overdubs. And this time, each overdub asked to be layered with about five or six other ones, which made it an even more obsessive approach to sound and how it affects people. I wanted to remove associations. For instance, if you put down a surf guitar, people's associations take them away from the ride of the song. This time, without hurting anybody's feelings by being willfully kooky, I think the sounds tend not to take you away from the song.
But doesn't that describe what you've done a lot?
It could be. This time I did it on purpose.
Okay. But I do hear that in things. I hear guitars that don't necessarily sound like guitars. I hear, in fact, I can't even tell all the things you're playing on here.
That's great. That's exactly what should happen.
And the string parts kind of blend in really well as well, whether they're an ensemble or single things. It's really...
Strings make things sound important, and I often tend to tone down the anthemic aspects of songs because I like them to be broken and fragile, a little pathetic, a little funny, goofy. This time there was nothing but strident tallness. And no matter what I did to pull away from that, the songs wanted to be big and clean and anthemic. They've got choruses.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. Yeah. But the strings add some drama without schmaltzy melodrama to that.
Indeed. Tell you what, let's play one before you play acoustically, because we'll hear the strip down, maybe where these all began. But let's just play the first song, which is In Shock. Anything we should know about this? Do you like explaining songs, or do you like letting people just figure them out?
If I could do it, I might like it. I'm just bad at it. I get lost. I trust other people more than myself. It's hard to be objective at all. In fact, I think it's my job not to be.
That's a good answer anyway. And here's In Shock.
For no one, you wanted to be wanted.
Just to give you a little idea about what Learn to Sing Like a Star sounds like, Kristen Hirsch's new solo album. She is here with her guitar, and we're going to hear some of the other songs done acoustically. Now, you're out touring. How are you realizing it on tour? Is it just you?
Well, this is a promotional tour. I just came home from London where I did the same thing, and you play live, say, at a preview show or at an in-store, and yet it's not actually playing live. It's a little bit like taking a test of the songs. I have yet to fully lose myself in the material, and then I think I'll know what's going on. As a recording project, it stands alone, and that's good. But as a live project, honestly, I have yet to hear it.
Well, I know in March you're going to go throughout Europe touring.
Yeah, so. Do the UK and Europe first, and then the US, and then Australia, and probably it'll start all over again after that, which is just how I like it.
Yeah. Well, it's so wonderful that you have this worldwide audience, whatever size it may be. Your music is not the easiest music in the world, and yet it speaks really strongly to people, and that is so, I don't know, I'm
just
gushing, but it's really great.
Some people, just a few, nice people.
Yeah. Which
and
is
they're right there.
Maybe better for you at some level, too.
It's much better for me. When I was in Throwing Muses, every now and then we would have a song on the radio, and the people that came to shows were, much as I dig frat boys, beer drinking, pool playing, bar going, we were the show of the week, in other words. And it was boring, I guess. It made us lose the excitement that is generated between the band and the audience, and not the screaming and yelling, but the caring that was missing. Now I know they care. They actually fly in from all over the world to see shows, which it makes me feel bad initially, but when they're there, when they're standing there and caring that much, then I realize that's as much success as I could ever hope to achieve. To have someone care that much, to just be standing there, is a big deal.
Kristen Hirsch is here, and she's going to play some of this new album live. What do you want to do?
This is called Winter.
Fear not, these songs' anthemic qualities do not lose anything in the solo performances. Kristen Hirsch is playing live, or Christian Hirsch as one of the instrumentals on the album.
You know what that is? I didn't play that. My son Dooney played it. It's his favorite bastardization of my name because it's a religious funeral car.
That's funny. One of the things that is most important to you is your family, and you've done things so differently in your life in order than a lot of other people have. You started making music really young, and you started having a family really young, having kids, and it's always been kind of a part of your life. Does it continue to inspire, or how is it just make it more difficult to fit things in, or how do you integrate it all?
Probably both. I assume it informs everything I do, particularly since I had a baby before I grew up. I learned that lesson right away that you are not the story. You look at the little universe of your baby and realize that you don't care one little whit about yourself anymore. That's probably a good lesson for any songwriter, you know, to not take baggage too seriously.
Well, let's expand that lesson. It's probably a good lesson for everybody.
In yeah.
fact that you learned it really young. Now, which of your one of your sons is a musician?
My oldest son, Dooney, is in 3 bands. He plays drums in one, sax in another, and guitar in another. So at least I got a little bit of the guitar in there somewhere. And he's a good screamer. He can scream in tune.
See, just like you, you're in 3 bands. You're
yeah.
all of the above. What was happening in your life when this album was going on? I understand some things have been happening since you wrote these songs. I hesitate to ask you where you're living now.
I live nowhere. I'm homeless, which is probably, you know, not as pathetic as it sounds because I'm often homeless. I like it. I like using my own restlessness to make freedom happen. Mm-hmm. I love buzzing around the country and the world. And it's just that this time we're homeless because our house broke. Our house filled up with water and fell down, which happened to a lot of people this year.
Yeah, and before that, this was not your house, and you were living in New Orleans for a while, right?
Yeah, I made most of my records down there. It's where most of my friends live, and they actually, most of them survived Katrina unscathed, and our house broke. We hid out in New Orleans because we had nowhere to live. We lived at our friend's house.
Wow. But and people have pointed out that there's a lot of lost water images, et cetera, on this album. But you would have been prescient because you wrote all this before all that.
Yeah, Mary Margaret O'Hara once told me that songs don't care about linear time, and I think she's right. In fact, it kind of messes with my theory that the songs were making things happen in my life so that I could write them, because they wrote about it and then it happened. I got broke from big water.
Well, pick another one. Another one to do live for us.
This is Under the Gun. My heart goes out to you, a lover. Troubled by a troubled life, we hover blurry and glassy eyes. We passed this way before, we said this then, under the gun we run.
in the Bali mask. A boy steps carefully over the grass. The lizard looking up at me is so goddamn Disney. We passed this way before. We said this then. Under the gun, we run. Under the gun, we run. Under the gun.
Another one from learning to learn to sing like a star. The new album from Kristen Hirsch, and that's I'm glad you did that one. It's called Under the Gun. I'm glad you did it because I wanted to ask about the parrot lady of Lake Michigan.
Our bus broke down, and I was so happy because I had a few days off on a beach. And the beach, over the course of a couple of days, got scarier and scarier. And the scariest thing about it was not the dead dog or the dead seagull in this coliseum of seagull footprints. It was the parrot lady. The lady who walked her parrots like dogs, who we initially moved closer to because she had parrots, which was cool. And eventually I just started backing my children away from because she made the parrots talk, and they talked about her dead husband.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And she had them on leashes.
Yeah. And their wings were clipped, so they couldn't get away. And they talked and they said desperate things, you know. Little parrots going, help, help.
Wow. Now, where does the Bali mask fit into that, was it?
We have a wedding mask from Bali in our room that's on the wall. It just hopped into a song one day.
Yeah. I like that one a lot. That's another one from the new album. You've described songwriting in the past, and I'm not going to do it as eloquently as you have, but it sounds very much like giving birth in a lot of ways, in that it can be painful, and as if that's all birth is about.
Birth.
Is it still like that? Does the songwriting process remain the same for you?
It's upsetting.
Yeah.
And yet, I feel lucky to hang out with something that I feel is this important. I just wish it was not so unsettling a process. I wish somebody else would hear the songs too.
Well, I was reading that your father, a college professor, is his specialty is the philosophy of the imagination.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that kind of explained everything.
That'd be nice. I'd like a little pat answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude is a very smart man. And his area of study makes him the groovy professor on campus.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Dream symbolism, Native American mythology, yoga, Zen Buddhism.
And what do you remember? What's your relationship with your dreams? I'll put it that way.
I think I included dreams in songs when I was younger because there's such a quick roller coaster ride to the unconscious. But I think it's hard to tell what is collective and what is personal at that point. So I no longer include dream images in songs, similar to telling a dream at the water cooler. Mm-hmm. Not only can everyone but you analyze it, it bores them to tears.
That is so true. Telling one's dreams just never goes over.
It would be bad to publish them in CD form, for example.
Okay. Learn to sing like a star. Where did that come from? It's kind of ironic, but I
it's spam. I mixed this record in Nashville, Tennessee, without actually being there. Trina Shoemaker, my beloved engineer from New Orleans, is now in Nashville, and so she sent me MP3s of each mix. I'd call her with changes. She'd send it back, I'd call her with more changes, and this went on for ever.
Mm.
But every single time I tried to download a mix, this piece of spam would jump out that was telling me to learn to sing, which hurt my feelings and was stupid American Idol crap. But I saw it so many times, the syllables eventually became meaningless. And that's when stuff gets beautiful. That's when it started to sound Seussian or like Madeleine L'Engle. Maybe we should be singing like the cosmos. And I'm old and goofy enough to name a record that.
Kristen Hirsch, and our thanks to Kristen for joining us once again. Learn to Sing Like a Girl, the new album. Music from recent guests on the show, The Good, The Bad, and The Queen. We get back here to the World Cafe.